The octave of Christmas is, of course, focused on Jesus Christ, the newborn king. But in order to understand who he is, the church gives us, and the scriptures give us, a whole array of people who are part of his circle, the entourage. And it includes people young and old. Yesterday, of course, we reflected on the very young, the infant boys of Bethlehem, the holy innocents. The day before that was St. John, who, according to tradition, lived to be a very old man. Today, we have the St. Thomas Becket, who was, well, he died before he became a senior. He was in his late 50s when he died, so he was still in the prime of his life when he was martyred. And then we have, in today's gospel, the prophet Simeon, who, according to tradition, was an old man. It doesn't say in the gospel that he was old, but he's usually considered old because Anna was old, and they're in the same story of the presentation of Jesus in the temple. So she was 84, so we kind of treat Simeon like he must have been 84. A grandfatherly type figure. So let's reflect a little bit on this man, Simeon. We can learn a lot from him. He is a figure, an Advent figure in a lot of ways, because he spent his whole life waiting for the Lord to fulfill his promise that he, Simeon, would see the Messiah before he died. So we can imagine Simeon's life, especially if he's an old man, waiting a long, long time. We learn from him how to wait, how to persevere, trusting in the promise of the Lord without seeing it fulfilled. That's an Advent spirit and a faith spirit. Of course, in this gospel, he's not waiting anymore. The moment comes when the promise is fulfilled, and he actually does see the Messiah. But he turns out to be a poor child. So Simeon, not only is he an Advent figure, but he's a Christmas figure, a figure of those who welcome the contradiction of the King of Kings, the light of the world, in the appearance of a very ordinary, poor infant, 40 days old in this account. So he has eyes to see that this is a little child, but he has eyes of faith to see that he is the Messiah. He sees both. Did Simeon expect that his seeing the Messiah would be an ordinary little child? Probably not, because we know the expectation of Israel was for the Messiah to come as a strong leader, a liberator. And probably, although we don't know, probably Simeon thought he would see the Messiah coming in strength, power, glory, and correcting all the disorders that the Messiah was supposed to deal with. He may not have ever thought about seeing him as a baby, but even if he thought he would see him as a baby, he would have thought of him as a child from royal family or from power. So Simeon is ready, and yet he's taken by surprise. And this is something that we have to learn, how to remain ready, and in our readiness, ready to accept what we didn't think of or didn't expect. This is faith. You see, faith is openness. It's not rigidity. It's not determination about how God has to fulfill his promises. It's readiness for God to do what God wants to do and to accept what he does. We see this even in Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary, whatever they were thinking would take place in this, I mean, what they were doing was fulfilling the law. They were a righteous Jewish couple, and they were dedicating their firstborn son as was required according to the law. They knew, of course, that Jesus was son of the Father. They knew that at least the angel had said to Mary that he would be great and he would rule as king forever. Joseph knew that he was going to save his people from his sins. But it says that when Simeon uttered his prophecy about Jesus, the child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. So they were taken by surprise. Now, were they surprised at what Simeon said, or were they surprised that Simeon said it? We don't know. But they were amazed. They didn't expect it to happen like this. Maybe they thought no one would notice. Who knows? The thing is, faith is open to what actually happens, the way that and the timing in which God really fulfills his promises. Now, Simeon, he had this knowledge by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Christ, the Messiah. And he would see him before he died. In order to see him, he has to remain under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is another lesson we learn from Simeon. Not only to live in hope, not only to persevere, not only to be ready to be surprised, but to be willing to be guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned several times here as a key to Simeon's readiness. And that's a lesson to us. How can we persevere, and how can we welcome what we didn't expect unless we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts? Simeon utters this profound short canticle. This is the fourth of the canticles in Luke's infancy narrative. The first one, Mary's canticle, Magnificat. The second one, Zechariah's canticle. The third one, Canticle of the Angels, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which we incorporate into our Gloria in the Mass. Every single day in the Christmas octave, we sing the Gloria, the third one. And then this is the fourth one, the Canticle of Simeon, sometimes known by its Latin title, Nunc Dimittis, now you can dismiss, now you can send your servant away in peace. And let's reflect a little bit on this canticle, which is, by the way, the canticle that the church prays every night in the night prayer. So this is kind of like the last thing we say before we rest for the night. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. Where does peace come from? From confidence in God fulfilling his word. Peace comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from our accomplishment or our determination about how things should be. It comes from, not only from God, but from accepting what God reveals. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you prepared in the sight of every people. Now, remember, he sees a poor child, but he calls him salvation. My eyes have seen salvation. So he identifies with faith, with this inspired prophetic inspiration, who this little child is. He is the salvation prepared in the sight of every people. Now, here he talks about the sight of every people. Every people, nobody knew. It was prepared in secret. Salvation was prepared in secret. It was announced through the prophets, but even when he came, he still was not accepted. Who is this salvation? A light to reveal you, Lord, to the nations, a light of revelation, and the glory of your people Israel. Extraordinary thing to say about this child, and a lesson to us about how much God can reveal to someone who has eyes of faith, who can see beyond the ordinary surface of things and can see the saving power of God at work. Now, Simeon, after this utterance, this canticle, turns to Mary and Joseph and blesses them, and then adds this other prophetic word to Mary. Simeon, you can see, understands what it means to accept this revelation. and how difficult it is at times to accept, because he himself had these years of experience of accepting in faith what he could not see. There's no doubt that he would have had experiences of questioning himself. Did I really get this promise? Will it really be fulfilled? Has it been fulfilled already and I missed it? I mean, imagine all the things that will go through your mind year after year after year when you don't see anything. So he understands the sharpness of the word and how much self-denial is involved in perseverance. So he knows that for someone to accept the child will also mean a willingness to be cut and to be humble. And not everyone is willing. So that's why the child is destined to be the fall and the rise of many, a sign that will be contradicted. Not everyone will accept the sign. Not everyone accepts a light of revelation. And we know that that's true. We just look around, how many people are accepting the light of revelation? We can look into our own hearts and see, we don't always want the light of revelation either. I mean, here we say we want light, we want light, we want light. And then when God breaks into our life and does something that surprises us, how do we react? Sometimes not very well, because we didn't want it to be like that. So this is what Simeon understands, the spiritual life, a faithful follower of the Lord has to be willing to his pride to fall and God's plan to rise. Then he expresses this to Mary in a particular way, because Mary, being the closest disciple, is going to experience most sharply the contradiction at the center of Jesus' ministry. Jesus, who comes as salvation for all, will be rejected, including by the very ones who should have known best about the fulfillment of God's promises, scribes and the Pharisees. And that will be the experience of a sword. You yourself a sword will pierce. This is going to be a painful experience. And we know, we have this image of Mary standing at the foot of the cross with the anawin, and we know that this is the moment when that sword is cuts most deeply. But he adds this kind of mysterious thing at the very end of the gospel here, that this experience of being pierced by a sword is so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That somehow people will benefit, people's hearts will benefit from you being pierced, Mary. Now, Mary didn't know what in the world he was talking about. She had to ponder it. And we don't know what he's talking about unless we ponder it, unless we realize that it's possible for one person's suffering to benefit others. That it's possible for God fulfilling his promise can take place in such a way that it seems worse because it hurts, and yet it's the most fruitful for others. And that's the dynamic that we're talking about here. And Father Francis had an insight into this, and you know this is why we have this expression up here on the wall. And we will look upon him whom we have pierced, so that the love of Christ in hearts may be revealed. This comes in part from this these words of Simeon. What do we do? Well, we take this lesson of the lessons we learned from Simeon, and we let them take some root in our hearts. Whether it's an experience of being pierced, or an experience of being fruitful, or an experience of being enlightened, or an experience of darkness, with trust that light is breaking open, that's up to God. But we have to take it all in, accepting God's ways. The light of revelation is both a light that reveals God, a light to reveal you to the nations, Lord, and a light that reveals the human heart. That's the very end. So there's two revelations here, the light, the revelation of God and the revelation of the human heart. And we, that's out of our hands. We just say yes to God. Yes, Lord, you can let me go in peace as long as I am strong in my conviction that you fulfill your word, that you are faithful to your promises. Amen.